Several years ago, I had a teacher whom I approached after the Amim Noraim, after the High Holidays. And I asked him, how were they? And he said, the tefillah, the davening, the prayer was good. And I used to ask him after Shabbat, how was Shabbat? And he would say the same thing, the tefillah was good. And so one year on the High Holidays, when I was conducting the services upstairs, I told the congregation, you see, my teacher never says the sermon was good or bad. He focuses on what, in fact, the service is supposed to be about. He focuses on the tefillah, on the prayer. And that's what really matters. I went back to my teacher after that, and I said to him, I want you to know I used you in my Yom Kippur sermon. He said, really? Yes, I told people that when I come to you and I say, how was Shabbat? You never say the sermon was this or that or the other thing. You always talk about the tefillah. You always talk about the davening, and that's what I said you should concentrate on. And he smiled and said, that's because my rabbi never gives good sermons. Now, I don't know if he was saying that truthfully or not, but it did occur to me that, in fact, he came from a world in which sermons were given only twice a year. They were given on Shabbat HaGadol, in which you were supposed to give a long, elaborate explanation of the laws of Pesach, so everybody could prepare for the holiday, and this Shabbat, Shabbat Shuvah, in which you were supposed to give a long exhortation to repentance. Notice the one word that the two sermons have in common. Long. Yes. The sermon, because you only gave two a year, was supposed to be a long sermon. Now, I myself am a traditionalist and believe that you shouldn't violate the traditions of our past. So I have ready a long sermon. No, not really. But I do want to talk, in fact, about Shuvah, but in a particular perspective, because that is the time-honored subject of this Shabbat Shuvah, this Shabbat of repentance, which is supposed to prepare us for Yom Kippur. And on this Shabbat, you're supposed to focus on some aspect of Shuvah to help us orient ourselves and our souls for what's coming. And I want to use as my text, so to speak, the title of a book that was published by Edmund Wilson. Edmund Wilson was a literary critic. He was in his day very famous, although I suspect he's not much read anymore. And he wrote a book that introduced many of the great writers of Europe to America, and the book was called The Wound and the Bow. The Wound and the Bow. And it was taken from the story of a Greek myth of an archer, somebody who shot arrows. His name was Philoctetes. And Philoctetes suffered from a wound. He had received a snake bite in his ankle. And there was this festering, suppurating wound that gave off a terrible odor, and no one wanted to be around Philoctetes. And they shunted him off to an island to live by himself. But he was a master archer. He could hit a target from almost any distance. And so you hear the story of the wound and the bow. The bow is an archery bow. And what happened was, when the Greeks and the Trojans began to fight in the Trojan War, they realized they needed the skills of Philoctetes, who had, by the way, spent many years alone in an island doing what? Practicing archery. Getting even better, because after all, he was alone. So they sent an emissary to the island and coaxed Philoctetes to come back, and he helped them win the war. And Wilson used this idea to explain the great literary artists of the 20th century, because he said each of them suffers from a wound. They each have, in their character or in their past, some deep, difficult, violent, suppurating, festering wound, if not of body, then of soul. And that's part of what makes them great artists. And without the wound, you don't get the bow. I bring this up because in some ways, it makes sense that Wilson was introducing European artists, because this is not the way, by and large, Americans think about success. Success is a function of strength, not of vulnerability or of wounds. Success is where you show what you can do, not where you expose your weaknesses. And yet, Yom Kippur is really the story of the wound and the bow. If you have ever been in a desperate strait, if you have ever not known where to turn, if you've ever been dark, depressed, fearful, apprehensive, then you know that your prayer is different from the day you walk into synagogue and everything is fine. It's deeper. It's more fervent. It comes from a place inside you that only pain can reach. That only pain can reach. Because there are depths of the human soul that without a wound always go untouched. But once you have been wounded, they are always inside you if you are willing to go there. And Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of repentance, where we are told to dig deep inside ourselves and not find what we do well and what we do right, but find out where we're failures, where we feel humiliated, where we feel belittled, where we feel hurt. That's the place where Shuvah begins. That's the wound that allows us to project forward and hit the target of a genuine tefillah, of a genuine prayer, of a prayer that comes min hama'amakim, from the depths of our characters. Life breaks all of us, said Hemingway, and some of us are strong in the broken places. But in order to heal, to be strong in the broken places, you have to remember that original break, where it is, what it means to you. One of the reasons why we are told to go to people and say, I'm sorry, is not only for them, but for us. It's hard to say, I'm sorry. It's easy to say, if I've done anything in the past year that offends you, I'm really sorry. But when you go to somebody that you don't like, or that you have a grievance with, or that you have tension with, or your relationship is unsure or unsettled, and you look at them and say genuinely, I'm sorry, that's hard. And you feel scared and you feel vulnerable because you don't know what reception you will receive. And sometimes you won't receive the reception you want. Rarely will someone say, well, I don't accept it. The really hard time is not when someone pushes you away, because then you just get angry and you say, okay, I tried my best. It's when someone accepts it, but they're cold. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then you are exposed to all the world. But that's where tshuva begins, in that exposure, in that vulnerability, in that uncertainty. In that humanness. In the Midrash, Rabbi Alexander says, when people serve with broken vessels, they're embarrassed. Nobody wants to use dishes or vessels that have been broken, but God only wants broken vessels. If you come before God whole, God's not interested, because that's not you. That is some puffed up resemblance, some false similarity, some projection of maybe what you wish you were, but God is Bochein Klayot. God is Yodea Kol HaNishkachot. God is the one who sees inside and remembers and knows. That's not you. even if you come before other human beings afraid of showing your vulnerabilities and your weakness, that's not the way to come to God. There was a time in Jewish history when if you walked into a synagogue on Yom Kippur, people would be weeping. They would be praying loud. They would be beating their chests. They would expose their raw souls before God without embarrassment and without fear. But we are wrapped up in our finery, and we sit in this beautiful sanctuary, and we listen to exquisite music. And if we raise our voices, everyone around us looks at us as though we're violating the decorum, and you shouldn't be doing that in a synagogue. And so we shrink back inside ourselves. And we are afraid to show God what it is that we are afraid of in our own souls. But God knows. And the test of Yom Kippur is not if God knows, but if we know. If we can acknowledge our brokenness and realize our flaws. If we can believe the words of Rabbi Yochanan when he says that the eye has a white part and a dark part, but you can only see through the dark part. If we know that in the darkness of our souls, in the fear that we feel, is the seed of tshuva and the possibility of repentance. This year, as each year, we come before God at an uncertain time. This year, uncertainties are both individual in our lives and also in the world. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, economically, militarily, politically, socially. It is an uneasy time. And it's a time when we recognize that the facade that separates us from tragedy and difficulty is very thin, and lives turn around in an instant. If we feel that, if we know it, if we acknowledge it, then that is what we bring to God. Rachmana liba baye, the Talmud tells us. God wants your heart. In this year, as we approach the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, and especially on Yom Kippur, part of our prayer should be that we will find it difficult to pray. Not because we won't know the words, but because we will be seeking the deepest part of ourselves, dredging up our fears, acknowledging our darkness, taking our hearts in our hands, and presenting them to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to God, who knows us, forgives us, and loves us. Shabbat Shalom.